Well, we want to talk about hope today.
That's something I think that we all need. And because it's Back to Church Sunday, many churches all around the United States are trying to bless their communities and trying to invite them to their churches. And there's something I want to remind you. If you have been part of the church or not, we need to be reminded. Church is not a building. Would you say amen? Church is not a building. We've decided that if something happened, if a tornado came, or if a bunch of Chinook helicopters came and hooked up to this church and took it away somewhere, the church would still be here, because church is a group of individuals who are trying to help each other in their journey of following Christ. That's what we're here to do. It's not just, like watching TV. It's not just like some undetached thing. It is about a group of people who love each other and care about each other. And when we gather together like this, we have hope. We have hope. We share our hope. We have hope together. And so we find hope that empowers us, encourages us, and helps us through life. And so we want to talk about this series, Hope is Here. And we're talking about that because when we come together, there's hope. And the only reason that there's hope here is because Jesus is here. And wherever Jesus is, there's hope. The reason that we believe that is, the reason that Christians through the years have been able to find hope in the midst of really, really difficult and even sometimes impossible circumstances, is that we believe that Jesus died on the cross, he was pronounced dead, and then 3 days later, we believe that he rose from the dead. And if Jesus rose from the dead, there's hope no matter what the situation is if we put our faith and our trust in him. So that's what the church is about, really. And I know there's different churches all over town and some wonderful churches that you could attend. We're thankful you're here, but we want you to know that church is really about the fact that in our church, we're committed to loving God, to loving the people, and loving our community through service, serving our community. And that's what we want to be about, because we want to be a people of hope. It really is my prayer that when people drive by our building out on the road, out on Center Road, that something just draws them. I mean, that they would sense, you know, and we've had people say, I drove by several times. For some reason, I could not just keep driving by. I kept being drawn to look, and I thought, maybe I need to attend there. And we've got one couple, they'll be here in second service, who have been part of the church for years, and that happened to them. I want people, when they pull on our parking lot, to sense the hope of God. And I certainly want people, when they walk in the doors, to sense the hope that with God, there's a possibility of good things happening tomorrow. Every year, we've tried to, for the past, I think, 3 or 4 years, we've tried to join in with this Back to Church Sunday with other churches throughout the United States. And I don't think it's ever been more important than this year. I mean, after what we've come through in the last year and a half, I don't know about you, but I have needed hope during the last year and a half. And it's been tough. It's been tough in so many ways. But for some of you, you've experienced loss. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you lost income. Maybe you lost a loved one and you couldn't even go visit them when they were dying in the hospital. And I tell you what, nothing makes us feel as hopeless when we're just exhausted and worn out. It just seems like, first thing I want to say about it is life is hard. Life is hard. That encourage you? Life is hard. Life is hard because there's other people in our lives that challenge us and make it so difficult sometimes. I reminded of the story about the grandpa who went to see his little 6-year-old grandson play baseball. And it was in a time before they started the 8-run rule. It's called the mercy rule, where if they score 8 runs in an inning, the other team gets a bat. Well, this was before that. I played before that day. And so I can remember some pretty lopsided scores. And this grandfather was sitting here, and in the first inning, the other team scored 16 runs. So it's 16-0. And finally, they get the third out. And as his grandson comes in to the dugout, he just felt like he needed to go over and encourage him. And he walked over and he said, "Hey, son, don't feel bad." And he goes, "Grandpa, why would we be discouraged? We haven't even got up to bat yet." And so, you know, sometimes you can look at life like that. But no matter how down you are, there's always hope when you trust in God. Like I said, life is hard, especially when we're exhausted, when we're worn out. It was Coach Vince Lombardi of the Green Bay Packers who said that fatigue makes cowards of us all. It's hard to feel like you're going to get up and go when you're just exhausted and worn out. And Jesus was aware of people's tendency to live on the margins, to just push it. Sometimes we do that, we push. And I remember when computers first came out, and some, I'm showing my age, but I remember when, you know, personal computers first came out, and there were people who were predicting that the work week would be reduced to 2 days because you could get so much done, right? You get so much done, so much more done now with a computer than you could without one, that you would only have to work 2 days a week. But you know what happened. I know what happened. The more time you have, the more work you get, the more that you're expected to do. And sometimes we get so exhausted just trying to keep up with everything, trying to keep up with life. I want you to read this passage with me, Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30, where Jesus, knowing that people, even in his day, were pushing it to the limit, just trying to get by. And he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." That burden means heavily burdened. "And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What Jesus is doing there, he's doing a couple of things. He's saying, first of all, that life can get heavy sometimes. That often we're hard on ourselves. We work hard. We try to keep up with other people around us. I don't know how many times I've seen the neighbor mowing the grass and think, "I need to get out there. You know, their yard's going to look better than ours." But the truth is, we should never feel like a failure. Jesus is normalizing the fact that life gets heavy sometimes, and it gets heavy for us to carry. And it's hard sometimes. And then the other thing he says is he offers a solution. He offers for us to change one yoke for another, not egg yolks. He's talking about the yoke that oxen used to pull back in that day. Oxen would pull heavy load. And he says, "I want you to take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy, my burden is light." I picked this picture especially if I picked it because there's one small oxen and one big oxen. And the truth is, what Jesus is saying is, and I want you to get this, everybody has a yoke. In other words, everybody's carrying burdens. I don't know what your burdens look like. Maybe it's paying bills. Maybe you found out that you have cancer and you're battling that. Maybe you're trying to keep a marriage together, or maybe the marriage fell apart and it wasn't your fault, and you're trying to keep your kids in your life. I mean, everybody's carrying some kind of burden. Maybe you're drawing close to retirement and you don't know how you're going to make it. Maybe you've lost your job and you don't know how you're going to get from one day to the other. Everybody's carrying some kind of burden. And so everybody is pulling a yoke. Like that oxen that's pulling that yoke and pulling that burden and plowing that ground, all of us are carrying burdens. I can't see your burdens, you can't see mine, but I've got them, and you do too. And the point is, Jesus says, quit using your yoke and start using mine, because Jesus' yoke is a double yoke. His yoke means that we are in one side and he's in the other. What that means is that no matter how hard the pulling is, Jesus is going to come alongside of us, and he is going to pull the weight with us. And guess what? He is way stronger than I am. He can pull way more than I can. Some of you heard the story maybe about the mouse and the elephant. The mouse was afraid to cross this swinging bridge, and the elephant said, "I'll go with you." And so they go across the swinging bridge. You can only imagine what's happening, this rope bridge. And they get to the other side, and the little mouse looks up at the elephant and says, "We really shook that thing, didn't we?" And sometimes we get through things, and we wonder, how did I get through that? Well, you know what? If you're trusting in God, if you're trusting in Jesus, He's pulling the weight with you. Doesn't mean that you don't stop pulling the weight. Doesn't mean that you lose your burden. The good news is that if you're yoked together with Jesus, He's pulling it with you. You're not doing it alone. I wish you would just say that right now. I am not alone. Isn't that good? I'm not alone. Sometimes I feel like I'm alone, but if Jesus is with me, I'm a majority because He's on my side. I love that. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, He says. The next thing I want to say is, it's a question. Is your yoke crushing you, or is your yoke life-giving? See, sometimes we don't realize, sometimes we need to be reminded that we don't have to do these things by ourselves. Sometimes we need to be reminded that that there are resources and help and that there's strength for us that we just forgot about. I had something crazy happen to me this week. These kinds of things happen to me all the time. I think I've had Alzheimer's since I was about 12 years old. And I just forget such, you know, things I should never forget. Well, back in the spring, Debbie and I went, and I led worship in a retreat, and it was like a senior adult retreat, right, for blue hairs like me, you know, and I thought, this was like, okay, I'm finally letting go of any trace of youth now. I'm leading worship with a bunch of senior adults, right? The really scary part was when I got there, it went really well. It was like perfect. I played guitar, sang, and at the end of the week, I was really shocked that the leader of this thing gave me a check. And I tell you what, it was a pretty good check. It was almost just $5 short of $700. Wow, we were getting ready to go down to Nashville and visit our son. I thought, this is great. We're going to have some spending money. Maybe we take out to dinner and do some special things. And well, we didn't cash it until we got back to Bedford. And Debbie cashed it for me. She gave me the envelope. I want to make myself sound as good as I can, so I'm going to throw this in. I had the envelope with me, saw a young lady who needed help. I gave her $50. That was the last time I saw the envelope. We looked everywhere for it. We tore my truck apart. We looked through all of my clothes, even clothes I haven't worn for like 4 years. I mean, we went through everything, tore the house apart, looked under furniture, looked inside of drawers that we really don't open that often, and we could not find that envelope. Truck, pulled the seats up, looked down under the floor mats, every place that we could imagine. And finally, I just figured, it's gone. It's gone. Kind of hurts your self-esteem too when you lose that much money, and you know, I had some kind of plans for that. And so I got this iPad, and I got it out the other day. Now I've carried this thing with me. I've left it laying here at church. I've left it laying at restaurants when I would go to the restroom, whatever. I don't carry it with me all the time, but from time to time I use it for different things. And so the other day, I was going to bring it to church with me, and I dropped it a little bit on the sink in the bathroom. And when I did, there was a little white piece of paper sticking out there. And I said, "What is that?" And I had, with my worn-out, tired grandpa brain, I had stuck that money in there. It was in my truck that day. And I pulled, show him a picture. It's really impressive, the picture I got of that. Check it out. Yeah, that was in here. Well, I got to tell you, I was happy all day that day. I mean, you talk about making your day. All of a sudden, you thought you had lost $700, and it once was lost, but now it's found. See, sometimes we forget that Jesus is with us. You know, when I think about just what I can do, there's not much hope because I'm limited. As a matter of fact, I get more limited. There's so many things I can't do now that I used to do, and I miss it, you know? But the truth is that when I'm reminded that Jesus is with me, the great story in the Bible when the disciples were in a big storm and they were in a boat and it looked like they were all going to die. As a matter of fact, they thought they were going to die and they told Jesus, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And a couple of those guys were fishermen. It wasn't like they'd never been on a boat in a storm before. And Jesus just stands up and he says, peace be still. And that storm on that lake turned into like a mirror. I just can't imagine these disciples how amazed they were. And see, the thing is, when you forget that Jesus is in your boat, you're going to think that whatever problem you're facing is the end. But I want to tell you that he rose from the dead, he lives today, and he can get you through whatever grave you're going through. We sang the song a while ago. He turns graves into gardens, and he can turn your problem. There's one verse that I put a lot of hope in. It's in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, now God makes all things work together for good of those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. So even bad things, when we're trusting God, he can take them and turn them into good in our lives. I've talked to people who said, you know what? Cancer was the best thing that ever happened to me because if I hadn't had cancer, I never would have learned how good God is. I mean, it's the problems in life when we find out, it's the storms in life when we find out I don't have to carry my life alone. There's somebody who can get me through. Somebody say amen. Man, that's so good. That's good preaching, Pastor Mike. Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you. I do better when I get away from my notes. Because then I don't even know what I'm going to say. The third point is that the church is about carrying each other's burdens. Therefore, the church is supposed to be helping people carry their burdens. That's what church is about. I know some people, If you haven't attended church in a long time, maybe you got hurt years ago, maybe your idea of church has been fashioned by, I don't know, what, the media or movies or maybe just what people have told you, and church is this weird, dark thing. But really, church is supposed to be about people encouraging each other and helping each other through life. Look at this. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, the Apostle Paul is talking about the purpose of the church to a congregation in Galatia. And he says, here's what you're supposed to do. Carry each other's burdens, and that way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. See, we're supposed to be carrying those burdens together. And that's the purpose of the church. Now, I'm not going to say we always do it perfectly, but I've seen this church do some pretty incredible things. Last year during the pandemic, we were given the opportunity to distribute food. And I think I got a picture of that. Yeah, go ahead. Our people, I think we did it six different times, but over those six times, we gave away food. We provided food for over 3,000 families in our community. We love our community. And I've seen this church do incredible, amazing things. We have something called Meal Train. When somebody in the church is sick, meals. I mean, my wife and I have had surgeries and different things. And thank God for the Meal Train. People in the church taking care of each other. There's just been so many things, so many times. I remember years ago when we were in college and I couldn't work for a period of time. At one point, I was working three jobs. Debbie was working two jobs just to get through college because we were married and had kids in college. I know that's stupid, but that's how we did it. We always back into most things, right? And that's how we were doing it. And all of a sudden, I couldn't work. I had knee surgery and I couldn't work. And there was no disability or unemployment for where we were working. And so there was a guy in our church, a Sunday school teacher, and he showed up one Sunday afternoon, sitting there. He knocked on the door, and he came in. You know, Debbie let him in. I'm sitting there with my leg propped up, and he says, I tell you what, I stood up this morning in church, and I told the people we need to help Mike and Debbie. And we were just college kids. We've just been part of that church for a year or so. And do you know that they took an offering for us, and it was like nearly $300, which back then would have paid off the national debt. I mean, it was a huge. And you talk about feeling supported and loved. You see, that's what the church is supposed to be doing. There's some of you who are sitting here today. You've got a card at just the right time, or you've experienced somebody in the church calling you when you needed it, or caring about you, or caring about your family. See, that's what the church is supposed to be doing, and I think we've got a pretty good church. I'll say it. I mean, I've been here for 8 years, and I've seen some people go through some things, and I've seen this church rally around them, and I'm thankful for this church. See, the whole idea is that you don't have to go through it alone. Several years ago, I did something crazy. My wife and I lived in Guatemala, and I decided I was going to climb a volcano, an active volcano. It's called Volcan Pacaya. It's a big one. I forget how many. It's like, I don't know, 12,000 feet. I don't know. It's up high. And some kids that were in our language school were going to go, you know, to this volcano. And so you take a bus, and I said, it's a guided tour. You have tour guides with you and stuff. And I thought, you know, I'm thinking of American parks, right? I'm thinking of railings and concrete steps, you know. And no, it's just a volcano. Yeah. We got there, we got off the van at the parking area, and we had to walk. And it didn't sound like it was that far, 2.5 miles. Except 2.5 miles like this is different than 2.5 miles like that. And we started climbing this volcano. I think I got a picture of it, Theron. Volcan Pacaya. And as we're climbing, and we did it in daylight, not at night, but as we're climbing that thing, I realized that I was 46 years old, right? I'm the only old guy climbing the volcano. They're all college students, language students, bunch of kids. Well, there was one 80-year-old guy, but he was a freak of nature, okay? And they were just climbing this volcano like crazy. So I'm going, and eventually I start getting out of breath. I thought, why am I? I'm just walking. Well, first of all, the oxygen's thinner, right? And the second thing is fat and out of shape. So I'm trying to get to the top of this thing. And I finally stop. And I could speak a little bit of Spanish at that point. I was in language school. And one of the guides, they had one guy that stayed in the front and one guy that stayed in the back. I figured out the guy in the back's job was to help anybody in case they died to get him back down for their funeral. He was staying back with me, and he asked me, are you going to make it? Put it there a minute. Can you finish this? I said, I think so. I just need to breathe a minute. I just need to rest. He said, I can get you a mule. In other words, everybody else would walk up that volcano, and here I would come riding on a mule. And I said, no, if I make it, I'm going to make it on my feet. And so started walking. Well, I brought all this stuff. I had a backpack, and it had like 2 bottles of water, sandwiches, camera gear. That was before you could use your phone for camera. I think I had an extra pair of shoes. Like, what were those for? I had all this stuff in my backpack, and it was pretty heavy. It probably weighed, I don't know, 15 pounds, which didn't feel like anything when I got on the bus. But now that I'm, you know, 2/3 of the way up this volcano, it's like cutting into my arms. And all of a sudden, that little Guatemalan tour guide, I mean, they're like mountain goats. He came over, grabbed a hold of my book bag, pulled it off of me, and he took it on himself. Then it was unbelievable how much lighter I was without 15 pounds. And we made it. And sometimes I'd only go about 10 steps and have to breathe. Then I go about, but I made it to the top of the volcano, but I never would have made it if I didn't have somebody to help me carry the load. See, that's what church is about. And that's what my Jesus is about. He takes my burdens. And there's a verse that says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So here's what I want to tell you today. You were never intended to go through life alone. You aren't even designed to carry all of those burdens. Many of those burdens you didn't ask for. Now, there are some burdens we have that are of our own making. Maybe we borrowed too much money, or we made some bad choices, or, you know, there are things that we did that caused the problem. But you know what? The Lord has grace and will forgive you for anything you've done in your life, and in your, and He'll help you with that burden. When He died on the cross, He took the burdens of all the world on Himself. And if I trust Him, He'll help me with that. Then some of you have gone through things that are not your fault. You've gotten sick, a divorce that wasn't your fault, and things just came at you. This whole pandemic, it is, I mean, it came out of like nowhere, and all of a sudden, we couldn't even have church. What are we going to do? And you know what, though? God gave us grace and strength to help. And what I want to ask you to do right now is, just where you are, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think about the heaviest burden in your life right now. Close your eyes. Think about the heaviest burden in your life. The thing that maybe it's not every day, but it just keeps coming back and it wears you down and it makes you so tired. And somebody in this room today could say, I am just worn out with what I've been dealing with. And I'm going to ask you right now, holding your hands in front of you, picture that burden. And it's so heavy and you're carrying it. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to trust Jesus with that. I want you to cast that care or roll that burden off of you onto Him. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. He has strength that will never, ever wear out. He is able to do everything way beyond anything that we could think or imagine. And then He gives us the power to get through what we're going through. Right now, would you just turn that over to Jesus? Because there's hope in Him. You've messed it up and you're going to keep messing it up, but there's hope in Jesus if you trust Him with it. That relationship, that job, that personal issue or addiction in your life, I want you to just turn that over to Jesus today and trust Him. Doesn't mean it'll be gone, but what it means is He'll be in the yoke next to you. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done in my life. Thank you that I don't have to go through it by myself alone. Amen. You know, there might be somebody here today who says, I need to roll some care off of me onto Jesus. I need some help with that burden. And don't be ashamed. Jesus is the one who said, bring it to me. And if you would say, I need help with that burden, I've got some stuff in my life, I know I do. Would you just slip up a hand and say, I need help with what I'm going? Yes, yes. Look at all over this room. Amen. Amen. Amen.